Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Can we all read verse 4 together in unison, everybody? Verse 4 together in unison. 3, 2, go. Let not every man on his own things. Oh, sorry. Can we read verse 4 together in unison, everybody? 3, 2, go. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Can we read it one more time louder, everybody? You didn't read it very well. I want us to read together, all right, as loud as you can. 3, 2, go. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Maybe King James here might sound not completely, clear. Can we get another translation if possible? Can we all read Bible in basic English, BBE? Everybody, 3, 2, go. Not looking everyone to his own private good, but keeping in mind the things of others. It still doesn't look as clearer as I would love it. Maybe I should read to you from the International Standard Version. I want to read to you from the International Standard Version. It says, do not be concerned. Do not be concerned about your own interest, but also be concerned about the interest of others. This is TLV. Let me read from you, TLV. All right, media just projected TLV. Let me read it to you. It says, looking out not only for your own interest, but also for what? Come on, talk to me. Interest of others. Now, this is an admonition to the church in Philippi. So, Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, and he was teaching them about living in union with purpose of their coming together. You know, I told you, I said the church is not a social gathering. It's a family, but a family with mission as the focus of it. And that mission demands certain things. And one of its major demands is unity. Now, unity is not the same thing as uniformity. I mean, somebody, a man and a woman, can wear the same clothes. They call it anko from the part of the country I came from. They call it anko. And yet, they could have probably fought in the morning before they went for that owambe. Owambe, by the way, for those that are listening outside the country, owambe is just a vernacular for, party. So in this part of the country, when we have a party, let's say marriage or wedding party or birthday party, owambe simply means, everybody want to be there. And you have couples who wear the same clothes, which naturally should symbolize unity. But more often than not, it's just uniform. Maybe last night, the man slept facing left. The man slept on the same bed facing right. They were at loggerheads. So uniformity is not always unity. Uniformity is trying to make everybody look the same. Unity is harnessing the differences of everybody for the corporate benefit of the wholesome bunch. So uniformity says everybody must be eye. But unity says hand, do your job. Leg, do your job. Nose, do your job. So that the entire body can be healthy. Come on, say it loud, amen. Amen. Is that simple an example to illustrate? So now Paul is teaching unity to the church in Philippi. And he tells them, he says, looking out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. You know, we began this teaching on Cornerstone and you. And it's so important that we realize that None of us can actually do anything worthwhile in the kingdom in isolation. I mean, this is not only even a principle applicable for fulfilling God's plan for our life, but for even living a meaningful, natural, mundane life. It's a simple principle of life. You have to know it, that you cannot, even in your business, wherever it is, endeavor of life you find yourself, you cannot amount to much alone. You cannot. You need a cover. You need a shield. You need protection. You need someone going to be by your side. You need someone you go and cry on. You need someone. That's the whole essence of church. It's a teaching on codependency. You have to realize. Notice I did not say joint dependency. I said codependency because it cannot be 50-50. It's codependency. For example, you were born again. You became a member of the universal church. But God plants you in a local assembly for you to be nurtured by a ministry gift, by a pastor. So that pastor has a sole responsibility of feeding you God's word, praying for you, having spiritual oversight over you, and he's going to give account of that in heaven. So he lives his entire life because of you, for your spiritual growth. So like I told you last week, it turns out that none of us was actually made to live for ourselves. It's a reality that many people are yet to agree with. You are not meant to live for yourself. We are meant to live for each other. Say a loud amen. Amen. This is so important. You know, there are times, even in natural world as it is, that you just need someone around you. Let me show you a video quickly, all right? Because you see, one of the things I've realized, even as a pastor, pastoring for 11 years now, is that many times what people just need are the things that is readily available that is not given. And that something is scarce does not always mean that it is expensive. This is one of the mistakes a lot of people do not know. There are those who pride themselves in wanting to show off, perhaps maybe on social media or wherever, to say, okay, so great, popular man of God is my pastor. I mean, what good does it do you if you say T.D. Jakes is your pastor? T.D. Jakes is in Dallas, but you don't have T.D. Jakes' number. Let me tell you, the local assembly is the only institution of God that will last forever on earth. Go and read history. There is nobody, there is no organization that has outlived the church. I know there is persecution here and there, especially in this part of the country. But listen, go and read history. The church works stronger and stronger. Because listen, do you know who built the church? Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gate of Hades. And on the third day, he proved it. The gate of grave did not prevail against him. And the church has been built ever since then. Parachurches and para-ministry will do their own quarter to supply to the body. But it's not God's perfect will. Quote me anywhere. The most excellent para-church ministry that I can talk of is Kenneth Hagin ministry. And yet, Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, before he passed on, said something. That if all the pastors will do their job, there will be no need for para-church ministry. There will be no need for Bible teaching institute. There will be no need for seminaries if all the pastors will do their job. Because from divine design, God's primary design is that the church should be God's primary platform for nurturing, for having spiritual oversight, and for growing you in faith. That's God's primary design. So it's an aberration for a believer to say, well, so-so person is my pastor or is my man of God. It doesn't belong. That man of God does not have a church where he is pouring into you on a weekly basis. Listen, look, can I be honest with you? Let's preach the Bible. Let's say the truth the way it is. The truth may hurt,
But the truth remains the truth. You cannot grow your spiritual life on one off and on system of mentorship or role modeling of somebody from far. You have to belong to a local assembly. This is the whole essence of this teaching series. You have to see the importance of the local assembly. And last week I spoke about how that you must learn to participate. You know, this is a simple rule of life. And let me show you a simple video that simply tells you that you can't do anything worthwhile in isolation. Look at this. Start from the beginning again, please. Pastor David, please. Lee misses it. Now, these four-footed animals now. This four-footed animal. The eagle. Do you know? I'm not noticing what was going to happen there. The eagle was going to take that animal up. To up where it is and feed on it. That's the way eagles feed. Eagles does not feed on dead animals. Eagle is a superior bird. It flies at that no other bird flies. So he's made up his mind. And he has clinged his talons on the torso of that four-footed animal. Listen, if eagle puts his hand, his talons on the torso of an animal, that animal cannot escape. And no matter how heavy that animal is, did you see how that eagle did? What that eagle was trying to do was to, but look at how that four-footed animal fought for his life. Look at the way he was somersaulting. Look at how he was fighting for his life. Let me tell you, I appreciate the fact that that animal fought for his life. But a lot of people do not know something happened there so powerful. Did you notice that that other four-footed animal was with him all through? He wasn't necessarily helping him do the fighting. Listen, can I be honest with you? The motivation that there is someone beside me. See, that motivation in itself was enough to keep that four-footed animal fighting for his life. But did they win in the end? So it turns out that, look, you cannot, it doesn't mean that you may, we know that you can do all things in Christ, all right, you have power alone. In fact, you are a tree that can form a forest. But listen, you are not smarter than God. Look at what God says to the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes 4. Let me show you. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9. He says, two are better than one. Listen, this is so simple, so direct. He says, two are better than one. And he tells you why. He says, because what? They get a good return for their efforts. Now, if the Bible says one will chase 1,000 and two will chase what? I suppose if one chases 1,000, then two should chase 2,000. But it doesn't say that. It says two will chase 10,000. So there is a geometric impact that makes us better when we are two than when we are alone. Don't be a lone ranger. This is the concept of the teaching on church that we are doing. The concept of church is the concept of divine codependency. And you have to know this. Look at verse 10. It says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. I know so many people use this, you know, to preach on marriage, which is applicable. But primarily, he's talking about having someone, living a life of codependency spiritually. He gives you another example. He says, again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a three cord is not quickly broken. So none of us can actually do anything worthwhile in isolation. Jesus had three core disciples. Then he has 12 disciples. Then he had 70 disciples. Then he has church members. Then he had multitude. This is the principle of life that is so important. Look at Ephesians 4 verse 8. Look at it. Ephesians 4 and verse 8. All right. We give you, it says, when he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gift unto men. Now, I've told you what happened there, that at resurrection, two things happened powerfully. Number one was, Jesus led captivity captive. Then number two is, he gave gift unto men. Now, Apostle Paul was using an analogy here. Let me tell you what this analogy means. In Bible days, when they go against a nation that has been giving them trouble, maybe a particular nation, all right, has been, you know, they've been captive to a particular nation as their captors. When they now eventually reinforce and go against that nation and overcome that nation and overthrow them, what they do is they will bring the kings or their soldiers, they will bring them alive to their own country or nation to do what they call victory parade, just to show that they won. Or sometimes they can cut the head of a king and bring it to prove victory. Are you listening to me? So now, they'll now do what they call after party. Party after party, you know. They do after party or party after victory. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now, what the king will now do is, he will now give gifts. It's like a wolf day. Like Black Friday. Jumia Black Friday. You understand? It's an a wolf day that, we have now led our captors captive. The people that were our captors have now become our captive. Do you understand what I'm saying? These people that were troubling us, that were afraid of them, that were bullying us, it's like, have you ever happened to you, not many of you, if you attended boarding school, you could have a guy in the class, all right, who always bullies you. Until one day I'll do a teaching on psychology of bullies. I'm serious. Very soon I'll start doing single messages. Listen, most bullies are very, very lazy. They're not strong. I didn't say all. Most bullies. Has it ever happened to you that there is this guy in the class that always bullies you and is big? It has happened to me before. Until one day, I just woke up and said, "See, and then he comes, you know, he always wants to make a caricature of you, maybe in the class, just to make fun of you. And actually, when they are guests there, don't worry, they understand. Some of you will not understand. If you are in boarding school, just to shame you among, you say, you know, you just say some things and you know you can't fight back. And if you say something, he will now even beat you in front of the girls to, you know, to hard star to himself. Until one day when you dare it, and you go and you say, "Today, Mudembe Wallahi." Okay? And then you just go and then you find out how lazy he is actually. From that day, there was one guy like that. He was in our SS1, right? At SS1, right from JS2. I don't want to call his name because my friends, my classmates can listen to this thing. This guy, he's from Lagos. So to some degree, you know, there's ranking of power, you know. People know him that. So, and you know me, I used to be a very neat guy. I was a social prefect, the guy, all right. So I was just on my way, you know, everybody respect me, not because I show power, but I have intelligence and brilliance. Clap the person. All right, it's okay. So, and of course, I was in debaters club, you know now. You know, I go for debate for the school. That was why I was being social prefect. I do represent school for debate and all of that. All right. Remember that in MENA. All right. So this guy dares me. And I'm like, God. In front of, I don't want to call them of these girls that I used to trick for. You know, we all have all these girls that were, you know what I'm talking about. They are above your league, you know. But you just want to let them know that, I dare too. You understand what I'm saying? So, and all these girls too, of course, it's not as if they are looking down on me, but they know that this guy got something. But, you know, you just want to form in front of them. You get what I'm saying? Let me even just... One of them became dining prefect. And you know that? Maybe it's the reason why I'm linty today. I refuse to go to the dining because I want to form that, man, we don't go to dining. But I was always there in the hostel drinking Gary. Anyways, that's by the way. But the point I want to make is, so in front of all these people, he was going to shame me. Like, not shame, like he wants to use me to collect star. If you're a Nigerian person, you know what I'm saying. When somebody wants to use to collect star. Don't worry, if you're an American and listen to this thing, just don't worry, just follow, you'll get it. Until that day, this guy just does something. I told him, Karam, I don't want to mention his name. I almost mentioned his name now. I said, if you try me, he said, hey, everybody was like, dun dun. Like, it was like a movie. Omar, that day, I fought my integrity. I fought, you know, it's like trying to fight for your own territory. You won't get it. Like, all these damn ladies were there. Boy! This guy's just going to drop my rank like this? No, I fought it. Now, fought myself. He took me down. I stood up again, took him down. And when everything was done, everyone was like, yeah, I just dusted my clothes. He was still there, still trying to grasp for breath. I just dusted my clothes. That day, I felt like, man. Allogene 007. That was my nickname. Because I was the best chemistry student. Allogene is the class 7 of the periodic table. They used to call me Allogene. Allogene 007. You know what 007 is? James Bond. Oh, praise God. So that's what they do. So now, he that used to be my captor, that I was in dread of, from that day, I became his captor. When I'm passing by and he sees me, he will pass on that side. I think in our SS2, he began to greet me. He just greeted me from afar. Respect. So that's what happened at resurrection. The captor has now become the captive. So he says, he led captivity captive. In case you understand King James English, you know his old English. What he meant by he led captivity captive. They are captors. Listen, Satan has wielded so much power before Jesus came. Now at resurrection, the Bible says he overcame principalities and power. He reduced them to nothing. Are you following? 1 Corinthians 2:6. It says, which none of these prince known, you know, which they are brought to nothing. So now what he did was that he now led captivity captive. And in order to now celebrate, just like in those days, if they want to celebrate their victory, they will throw a party after victory. So now, the way to now, what they do is they will now give gifts to everybody. So what he did, so now, Jesus uses, Apostle Paul uses that analogy to explain what happened at resurrection. Number one, he led captivity captive. Number two, he gave gifts unto men. So his own way of celebrating James Bond 007 of conquering the devil for you and I was by giving us gifts. And those gifts are men. So Jesus' way of celebrating his victory over the devil for you and I was by giving us men. And he tells us what those men are. In verse 11, look at it. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets. It's like you take candy, you take chin chin. That was the way he celebrated his own victory. Oh, do you understand? So now, he conquered the devil for you, adopted you into sonship, now gives you some people whose primary responsibility is to keep supplying your spiritual need. That already tells you that the kingdom of God teaches codependency for corporate growth. So the concept of Lone Ranger is not Christian. It's alien to Christianity. And look, go on, look at verse 12. The purpose, look at the purpose. It says, for, this is the purpose why he gave those ministry gifts. For the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Oh, I wish I have time to explain. I've explained this many times before, right? That it's not as if there are three things for which he gave ministry gifts. No. It is for the perfecting. The word for there is different from the rest for. There are three for there, if you notice. There is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The last two for are the same. But the first four in Greek is different. The word four in verse 2 of the first one for the perfecting of the saints is for the purpose of maturing the saints for the work of ministry, which is the edifying of the body of Christ. That means the point here is the ministry gifts were given to mature the saints, to equip the saints, to train the saints. And the saints are being trained for the work of ministry, which is outside the church. And when they do the work of ministry, the body will be edified. Edified, edified, edified. The word edifying is oikodiomio. It means structure, edifice, to build, to keep laying blocks. So what he's talking about here, he's talking about spiritual codependency. He's talking about union in the body. He's talking about growing together. Hallelujah. So the focus of growth here is the body. Listen, if you read Colossians 4:16, you realize that, Colossians 4, you realize that the scripture was not written to, listen, the scripture were written to church. Let's go to verse 13. Look at what will happen. Let's read down so that you can get it. Let's flow in the passage, you know, message of the passage. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Oh, this is another big, huge stuff. I've spoken about this several times before, right? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And there means that is, the unity of the faith is the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, that is the Son of God, who is the perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14. And this is what will result, that we henceforth, listen, every Christian, you must have that henceforth moment. You must have that moment when you say, henceforth, I will refuse to be tossed to and fro. I refuse to be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Every prophet in town, you are always in the meeting. This, I refuse to be tossed to and fro by the slight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now go on. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Then verse 16, which I explained to you last week, he says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, makes increase. Increase of what? Is it of individual? Is it increase of members? Of the body. So, the concept of growth here, the concept of edification here is corporate. If one part of your body grows than the other, what do you call that? God forbid. That's a disease. You must grow. I mean, even if you want to add weight, the system of your body has been designed in such a way that as you are adding the thing, there will be a proportionate distribution. Do you get what I'm saying? There must be a proportionate distribution. I don't know why you're laughing. Because you have to grow in the right places. And flesh has to harden up in. I mean, you can't, all right, you can't have, you know, big cheeks, you know, big this place, and then everywhere just looks, and then just walking. I mean, people run away from you. Do you get what I'm saying? So there must be a proportionate, so the growth must be evenly distributed. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes,
sir. So the growth, so when you think this way, you will realize that you have a ministry to the person sitting next to you. Do you understand? You have a ministry to be there for the person sitting next, to be there for the other individual in the church. You must have this mindset. This is so important. The concept of spiritual growth in Christianity is body concept, is corporate concept, is communal concept. I wish I had time to talk more on this, but time is already fast spent. But let me just show some of the few pointers you know you are growing. Number one is, you see the miracle of changed desires. That's one of the pointers of spiritual growth. Write it down. Number one, the miracle of changed desire. In fact, this is the testimony of true salvation, that you are truly saved. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to like, I have lost the interest of them. It's one of the fundamental ways to know you are growing. And like I used to say, growth is not abstract. Growth is discernible. Growth is measurable. If you've been coming to this church consistently for 3 months, you should be able to measure the graph of your growth. You should be able to say, okay, what has this church imparted into me? Have I learned something? Can I be honest with you? One of the ways you know you didn't waste your time if you go for any Christian gathering is after the meeting, ask yourself, have I received any spiritual deposits? Number two, have I learned anything new? Or have I learned better what I used to know? Or has my conviction about what I used to know be deepened? What I just told you is the way you know if you actually are making progress whenever you come to church. Because our purpose for meeting is for the furtherance of your faith. That's your faith in Christ. That conviction you have in Christ. How deeper does it get each time you come to church? Are you following? Is there a particular scripture that has been properly well explained to me than before? Like Ephesians 4 verse 8 to 12, I just explained now. How many of you are seeing this the way I described it for the first time today? Can you see? Okay, how many of you? Can you see the number of you people? So, listen, if that was all I did today, you've gone home with something. That when Jesus resurrected, he led captivity captive. The one that has kept humanity in captivity for many years, Satan, he has now become the captor, the captive for the believer. Come on, talk to me. And that he gave gift unto men. That the way Jesus celebrated the party of defeating the devil for you is by giving you gifts. And the gift he gave you are men. And these men are set in church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in the church. They are not on TV. There is a general blessing you can get, all right, by preachers ministering to people. I bless people too on social media. You don't know. I do. I get text messages, but they are not my members. Are you following what I'm saying? You are my priority. This is so important. So, I mean, it will be a miracle of changed desires. The things that used to tempt you has lose its grip over you. A fundamental way you will know you've grown spiritually. I wish I have time to talk more on this, but time is fast spent already. This is past 9. I don't want us to, start second service at the right time. But make sure you get second service tape. Praise God forevermore. Maybe I should just do a quickly touch on this. That you see, one of the ways you will know that you've grown is that you experience the miracle of changed desires. The things that used to tempt you, no longer. The things that used to have grip on you, no longer have grip on you. Some people, money has a grip on their life and their soul. And it's such a sad thing that there are many churches today too that make people grow more in covetousness. Now, let me tell you, we meet needs in church with the power of God. Say loud, amen. Amen. But you see, we must not emphasize need meeting as the sole primary purpose for meeting in church. And by the way, it depends on how you look at it. Meeting in church is to meet needs, but we must emphasize spiritual above natural. Because, can I be honest with you? We are spiritual beings, and our priority must be spiritual above sensual. You must learn to prioritize okay, if we come to church, we meet spiritual needs, we feed you God's word, we get you, you know who you are in Christ, take authority over the devil whenever he comes at you. That spiritual need met. Talk to me. All right, you believe in God for finances. I speak prophetic word over you. The heart of men are calibrated in your favor. They supply you finances. Your needs are met. Say loud, amen.
Amen.
Beautiful. They are all equally wonderful, but you must not jettison one for the other. I think that is the right word I need to say. Work in balance. This is so important. For example, I've taught you before that temptation are just, you know, neutral circumstances. They're supposed to make you stronger, but they became a temptation, a stumbling block to you because of your own inward faulty disposition to that thing. I'll give you an instance. When people talk about ladies should be dressing well, they are the one responsible for all the rapes. Excuse me, what do you mean by they are the one responsible for the rapes for dressing irresponsibly? Shut your trap. Why are not people raping people in the beach? People wear bikini in the beach. So the problem is not that people are dressing, even though we teach modesty, and in this church, you know now. But you see, the guy who is always tempted, always falling into temptation of immorality, sexual, you know, fornication. The problem is not that the lady was dressing inappropriate, even though it is good for a woman to dress appropriately, as the Bible teaches so. But the major problem actually is the fact that he actually has a faulty inward disposition towards women that makes him see women as food anytime he sees them. So his major issue is to first cure that is wrong, demonic, sensual, inward disposition. And the church is not for perfect people. That's why we have church. Say loud, amen. And it begins by first acknowledging that I have this issue. Some people wear everything that wears skirt like this will get their attention. Once that thing wears skirt like this, you get their attention. Every lady. So, I've done a teaching on this. Go to our Telegram. All right. Now you know that many times is not the issue is not the object of temptation that is the problem. The problem is the faulty inward disposition. Let me close with this because of time. Look at James 2. Apostle James gives us a perspective. Look at it. James 2. Let me show you something. James 2 verse 9. And that's why you have to be in church. James 2 verse 9. Because there are some things, can I be honest with you? There are some things you are trying to fight. Some wrong habits you are trying to get rid of. That good church, just being in good church and having good company will make them die natural deaths. See, there are some friends you have that by the time they call you, you know they will call you so time to pray. You give account of the things you do per day. 50% of your temptation has been cured already. Are you following what I'm saying? For example, now, I am always tempted not to eat food throughout the day. I used to tell you sometimes, it's the second day I'll say, hey, have I eaten? Did I eat yesterday? Oh, no. Wait, no, I've not eaten today now. Did I eat today? That's the way. Sometimes I'm just, but since this woman came into my life, he will ask you, have you eaten? What did you eat? I ask her, I say, "Why? What's your problem?" He said, because you are too skinny. I said, okay, all right, I'll eat. And when I eat again, I say, beans. You see, I like beans too, but you need food. I say, excuse me, is beans not food? Did you get what I'm saying? So sometimes I'll be forced to go to the kitchen and make food for myself because by the time we lay in bed in the night, before I lay in bed in the night, she will do video call. What did you eat today? What did you do today? What about that thing you told me you wanted to start yesterday? Now I'm accountable to her. Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell her everything. So now, let me give an instance now. God forbid. I mean, I couldn't, I mean, I couldn't be playing with pornography because I'm going to tell her, I visited porn sites today. Do you get what I'm saying? I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Many of you just need good. That's the purpose of church. Listen, you don't understand this thing. Accountability will help many of you solve 50% of the temptations you are having. Just getting the right. And there are some friends now, God forbid, imagine if it was not my fiance. We are married, by the way. We've gone to court anyway. So, let me start saying my wife. Imagine if it was someone else that is a street girl. In the night, she would just call me, babe, what's up? How your day? Man, I'm fine. Man, I say, where are you too? Say, man, one of my friends just came out from the club. When last did they even take champagne? I'm like, eh? The next day, I'll go and look for champagne. Did you get what I'm saying? So, evil communication corrupts good manners. So, look at the example that James tells us. He says, James chapter 2, verse 9. He says, a brother of humble, James 1, verse 9. James 1, verse 9. He says, let the brother of low degree, that means a brother of low humble means, that means his income is a low income earner. He says, let him rejoice in that he is exalted. Do you get it? Now look at this perspective that James is teaching. Then in verse 10, he now says, look at it, verse 10. He says, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Verse 11. For the sun is so soon arisen with a burning heat, but it were with the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Wow. What a perspective James teaches. So James is saying, look, the guy who is a low income earner, the fact that he does not have enough is enough reason to go and steal. Talk to me. Come on, talk to me. Is a reason why many steal, right? Come on. So Apostle James is saying, now, instead he should rejoice in the fact that he is exalted in Christ. That means he should look at his situation that is supposed to tempt him to steal and see it as, wow, despite my situation that I am in right now, in spite of my financial, I'm not buoyant financially at the moment, yet I am accepted in Christ. I am exalted in Christ. Wow. He says he should rejoice. For the very fact that faith in Christ was not dependent on his size of his pockets. And he tells the rich guy, he says he should not glory in his riches, in that his riches does not qualify him to be in Christ. Because his money is going to perish away. Now, he's not saying you should be poor, but do you get the perspective? Come on, am I preaching to people who understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So that means temporary, mark my words, temporary lack. Temporary lack, at the end of the day, is a neutral situation that many have been tempted by to go into evil vices. But for the believer, his perspective should be that, so even in spite of this, my temporary lack, I am exalted in Christ. So it's all about perspective. Oh, I wish you understand this teaching. Did you understand what I'm saying? This is so important. This is one of the most amazing perspectives that I see James teach. What a perspective. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And this is so important, because what this perspective will do to you is it will rid you of attachments. I'm sharing with you. I have four, but time is fast. But I have four ways you will know that you are growing. I just showed you one. The miracle of changed desires. Your perspective to things change. And that's one of the purpose of being in church. You know, I was teaching one time, I said, you know, as a young guy, all right, when you have this kind of perspective, let me just paint a simple, you know, very relatable scenario so that you can get what I'm saying. Guys in the house, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say it very well.
Hallelujah.
Let me be sincere with you. You know, you and I know as men, that there are some guests that you know that you cannot marry. True? And I'm talking about that they are bad girls, but you just know that you don't have the finances to fund their lifestyle. See, let's not shy away from this truth, right? We are all socially biased inwardly. Okay, let me ask you. How many of you can marry a primary school dropout? Let's be sincere. Now, let's talk. Someone say, can I do that, Pastor? That's what I'm saying. Is the reason why a school sat in Otupo village cannot come and post you a garret of Unsuk and tell you, my love for you, they beat. You say, schools, are you? Get out! You even chased him away. And you are born again. You just spoke in tongues in the morning. So why didn't you allow? It's very simple. Do you get what I'm saying? But the problem with some guys is, now, they now put themselves in the right perspective, all right, and then they marry a lady that was at their level. Financially, now I'm talking in context now. Now, when God now increases their finances, if they don't have this perspective of teaching I'm doing, that has rid them off of sense of importance because of their increased pockets, they will now go and start chasing the ladies that they could not afford before. With the money they've been able to gather because they ended up staying with a lady who chose to stay with them when they were at that level. I'm not forgetting the past, what I'm saying. So somebody says, so what's the solution? Because this is something a lot of guys, big boys, you know, when I was living in Abuja, I knew a lot of them. This is one of the, so what's the solution? I'll tell you. It's simple. I've done a teaching on this before. If you are a medium earner, and you marry maybe a medium girl or even if the girl is a premium, because there are ladies that don't care about your pocket. They just love you. This guy said, all right. All right. So the right thing to do is, look, have you heard this saying? It is always green on the other side where water is being put. Other side is always green because they are wetting it. How about you groom? Do you know why we are called the groom? Husband man. How about you make her, you invest in her to meet up, quote and unquote, to that what you love to see in her? So as your finances increase, do all you can to make sure her finances also increase. So that she can also wear those stiletto, so that she can also dress like minister, so that she can also wear, you know, nice hair the way those guests that used to enter your eye in your office where you are working. And can I be honest with you? One of the things I've realized is most of the cases that I've been involved in to settle on the issue of infidelity, God have mercy. Sometimes I feel like even if I was not born again, I wouldn't do this. Because many times, the side chick is not as fine. So, I'll do a teaching one day on this. Bill Lewinstein, syndrome. I'll talk about it some other day. Clinton Lewinstein, syndrome. So it turns out that most of this thing is packaging. So why not give that packaging to your wife? But this will not, what I'm teaching will not do you good if you don't have this perspective that James is teaching. That we must rid ourselves the sense of, you know, accruing or aggrandizing importance to ourselves based on our pockets. I didn't know why I'm preaching along because this is not my notes. You know, I was watching Tyler Perry show. I just stumbled on it, not like I was watching, I just stumbled on it. By the way, for your information, when I was in the university, I don't see any movies. The only movie I see is Tyler Perry movies and Denzel Washington. All right, so there's this TV show, a bit naughty TV show. I've not been following because I'm too busy. They call them Sisters. So they were now asking questions on the show that, okay, why is it that ladies go for rich guys? And everybody was ranting. Then one person said something among those sisters that really blessed me. And I found it to be true. She said, it's not as if girls go for rich guys. It is the way money make men feel when they have money. That which happened to be what a woman wants in a man that makes them go for the rich guy. I say, that's it. That's the clincher. Listen, most men, science, it has been proven, most men feel secure when they have money. How about feeling secure without money? Because at the end of the day, even church, girls in church, born again, tongue talking, angels sing, spirit. All right, if you park messages outside and you love God, you are in ushering. All right. And there's another guy in church too, who is also in ushering, but does not have messages, all right, outside. The spirit will say, go for the messages guy. She will say, the spirit said, why? And many times, she's just, and the thing is, you have cancer with ladies, you say, I'm just sincere, honestly. And it's true. The solution is simple. The guy that does not have messages already rates himself as being poor, broke, no confidence, so he will walk his head, he will be talking with his head down to the girl, and the girl will feel like, I want a man, who is confident. All right, but the other guy, meanwhile, even the other guy that the lady eventually was going to fall for, does not even also have confidence. His confidence is in the messages. So when the messages has issue, or when, you know, when if he gets broke, uncle. So how about we training men to learn to be confident, to have poise, to have etiquette, even without money, or while waiting money comes, and you attract the right girl?
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org. or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.